Welcome to the Movie Magic Podcast, where today we are talking about Iron Man 2 and apparently reviews have been mixed on this one because, let's face it, it doesn't have the best reputation in all of them. And I can understand why. It's not a perfect movie, but I actually enjoyed it. It does have its pros and cons, so why don't we talk about both? So the premise for this is with the world now aware of his identity as Iron Man, Tony Stark must continue with both his declining health and a vengeful mind madman with ties to his father's legacy. And to me, the biggest problem with this film is trying to cram too much into one movie. Like, it's got too many subplots, like, for example, the reactor is slowly but surely killing Tony, and Tony has his rival named Justin Hammer, who wants to get the best of him. And Whiplash wants to destroy him because of his father's legacy. And Nick Fury wants to recruit him for the Avengers. And Natasha Romanoff, this is her first appearance, is undercover as a secretary, assistant, kind of. And on top of that, Pepper is the CEO. And Tony has daddy issues.
Can never forget that one.
Yep. So, 5 or 6 plots into one movie. I think all these are good ideas, but they should have gone with 2 and stuck with that. And, let's start with the strengths. First of all, I like Pepper in this. She's always a fun character. We get more of Happy Hogan. And the biggest pro of all, Black Widow makes her first appearance and quite a first impression. That hallway scene is really, really good. It's a really good fight scene. And it's funny how Happy spends all the time on one guy while she gets them with no problem whatsoever.
He says, I got him.
And apparently Scarlett Johansson, I'm not going to refer to her by her nickname, ScarJo, because she hates that, apparently. And she wanted the role so much that she started dyeing her hair. And it's actually blonde. And, apparently, Tony keeps trying to create a new element that can fix his reactor. And he figures it out by his father's Disney map, basically. And Pepper's made CEO. And funny thing about Tony, he doesn't care about where he's supposed to be, actually. He's got a million things to do, but he's only focused on one thing. And, Justin Hammer, played by Sam Wells, Sam Elliott, thanks, sorry. Yeah. I think he's pretty funny. He's pretty good. He's got a lot of charisma. And I thought he was the main villain or Whiplash. They could have chose one villain instead. It could have easily worked. And you get a lot more of Rhodey, which is fun, but it's Don Cheadle this time, not the other guy. And considering that he's War Machine in this movie, he's not really in the suit that much in this one, because considering that the armor is on the poster. And So Whiplash's introduction is pretty cool. He's got these whips, and I wish we could have seen more of him as Whiplash, because that would have been cool, but we see him more as Ivan. And Tony gets a little reckless, as he does, and there's this race in Italy that he drives his own race car in, and he fights off Whiplash for a little bit. And a quick little plot hole: how is his suit not catching all the way on fire? Because you see he smothers it easily on the arm.
Yeah.
Is it the reactor, or what is it exactly? And there's this little Hunger Games or Guerrilla trick where the pit crew suit burns off with no problem off of Whiplash. And Sam Elliott has him kidnapped and strikes a deal. He wants to kill Tony while he wants to kill his legacy. Wants to come out on top of the Stark Expo. And he says he wants his bird, which is a cockatiel in Russia. And they eventually get it, and it's not the right one, apparently. And I love the part where he goes, take his bird, take his stuff. And Tony's pretty funny in this too, because apparently Nick Fury was supposed to have more screen time, but I think it was scheduling that got in the way of it, and he wants to recruit Tony for the Avengers, but apparently he doesn't work well with others, and he's a one-man show, pretty much. And I love Natasha's introduction, where they're practicing boxing, and she does it one on Happy, flips him over,
takes him out.
Yeah. And I love how they say Tony Googles her just for a background check. Mm-hmm. He says, who speaks Latin anymore? It's a dead language.
I speak Latin.
Yep, a lot of people speak Latin, actually. And have you noticed that he doesn't really drink water much? He drinks smoothies.
Yeah.
And we get to see Dummy again, which is always fun. And also the birthday party scene can get a little too adult at times, and that's the part we usually skip. And I usually skip till when War Machine starts getting him, and he steals the suit and brings it to the military, because another supply I forgot to mention, that apparently the government wants to get their hands on the suits. And Tony's not having it, so he enjoys the attention. Of course, he says right into the camera, I've successfully achieved world peace, which is technically not true, but you know, he's a bit arrogant. Still arrogant, but still changing slowly. And here we get Romanoff's little, you know, considering how much she's in this, she doesn't do much in it. I mean, she does take out those guys and talk some to them, but she doesn't really she's just there, which is kind of a shame.
There isn't much development.
Yeah, I think her real introduction was in The Avengers with the chair battle, which is what we'll get into next. And we get to see her signature move, which is the sort of a clothesline with a kick. And, man, this one's kind of forgettable, sorry. And apparently the Whiplash unleashes his drones that were meant for Justin Hammer, but they turn on him. And we get a big battle scene. I mean, it's basically the same one from before, which is kind of a downgrade. I feel like they're kind of doing what they've done before a little bit. Like, people like the first one, let's just do that again. And this did make money at the box office, a lot, actually. It was one of the highest grossing of 2013. And I hope that's right, you can correct me. And, they just went and saw it for an Iron Man sequel. They want an Iron Man sequel, not a good story. And apparently, there's this one good scene where Pepper says she's allergic to strawberries. The one thing she's allergic to on Earth. And he brings them to her, one of those gifts. And, at the end, she quits CEO and remains his assistant. And, I like how War Machine says, my car blew up in the explosion thing, so I'm gonna have to need the suit permanently. Then he says, that wasn't a question. And they're both awarded medals of honor. And that kind of wraps it up. Sorry, it's just forgettable. That's why I'm having trouble summing it up. It's okay. Black Widow's pretty good with Scarlett Johansson. And Robert Downey Jr. is always enjoyable. So are all the actors and characters. And it's got strengths and weaknesses. But it's okay. Not the best. It's not The Dark World. For sure. Or Avengers Age of Ultron, which we will get into. I have some thoughts on that. So that's all. Tune in next week Thursday, where we'll tackle the first Avengers, which is actually a better and highly more memorable movie in the MCU. And you're probably wondering why we're not going in order specifically. It's because with Black Widow right around the corner, literally, as I'm recording this, comes out this Friday. We're going into her legacy, dissecting her legacy, basically. And her growth, her character, and then we'll move on to the others. And we'll definitely do Black Widow when it comes out. Maybe Monday, we'll see. I'll have to probably watch it twice. And thanks for listening. See you later.